All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1109 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, April 11th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can always support this show today by becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at the Cafe Press website at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to everyone. I'm back here in Honolulu for a single show before I head back out on the road. So excited to be back in the studio. Lots to share with you tonight. But I want to give a very, very, very warm welcome to all new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, you may be watching as well. That's fine. But the main thing is that you take some time and get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over on the website, you can get subscribed to the show. You'll find a subscribe link a little bit down on the website. And, of course, a place to subscribe to the newsletter as well. Those are great ways to stay connected with the show here. And really, that's a first step in becoming part of the Ohana, is getting subscribed to the show. And we definitely want you to reach out to me as well. I really want to get feedback from every single one of you that are brand new listeners and those of you that have been listening for a while. You can email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can reach me on Twitter at geeknews, and you can follow me on Google+, on Facebook. You can watch the show on the Roku, on our Tech Podcast channel, or on the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show, or you can listen on Stitcher or watch or listen on blueberry.com. I don't want you to forget our partner shows. We got lots of great content with the family here. We've got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. We've got Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis. We've got The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, who I'll be teaming up with at NAB. We've got the Pro Gear site. Lots of stuff being published there now because of the upcoming NAB show. And, of course, we've got the New Media Show with Rob and I. A little bit to share about that on a lost episode. And of course, that's really the family here. And we want you to get connected. And of course, don't forget to come over to geeknewscentral.com. Lots of content. The writing team has been busy putting stuff up on a regular basis. So we've got lots to share, lots of gadget reviews, you name it, we've got it here at Geek News Central. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been here with us really from the very, very beginning. They have essentially since July of 2005 been sponsors to the show. And by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, you're going to, and of course I'm trying to click the link, there we go, get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can get connected with all the deals that I have on the GoDaddy promo code page. We've got deals for April. Of course, we've got a 30% discounts. We've got a 99¢.coms. We've got our dollar a month hosting accounts, whether it be a website builder, economy hosting, or managed WordPress. All this a dollar a month for a year, and it includes a free domain. So definitely, again, we want to thank our longtime sponsor, GoDaddy, for being really taking care of us here for many, many years. And really, the place to go is geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And lots happening here. The first thing I just want to share is tonight is the night. This is the first time ever, a little bit of a breakthrough evening, that we are streaming in 1080p. So since the upgrade of the TriCaster, and I've kind of been finding my way around the new interface, and actually going to be talking with the TriCaster team or the new tech team at NAB here in about a week to kind of figure out some of the things I'm still kind of unsure about, but be able to pick their brains right there in their booth at, I think they're in South Hall. So be able to talk with them, but streaming in 1080p tonight. Up to this point, we've only been able to do 720. So I'll be real curious to see how the how everything looks over on YouTube. But it required a 3 meg per second push. And so we're live on YouTube. We're live on live stream. We're not doing Blab tonight. With Blab, what really happens is I'm camera limited. When I'm able to, it has to be like directly focused in front of you. So, you know, most of the social stuff happens during the day, and there's not very many people awake as late as I am, or starting as late as I get started. So that's kind of why we're not on Blab tonight. But just kind of get you guys caught up. Of course, left the D.C. area Saturday morning, and I was driving in, and I couldn't believe it. It was snowing. I mean, not sticking. There was snow flurries. And I just was like, you've got to be kidding me. Get me on an airplane and get me the heck out of here. And so, yes, great week last week in D.C. Of course, a mad dash home to get ready to go here. I dumped my suitcase out. Literally, I mean, I literally dumped it out in front of the wash machine. I threw my clothes in the wash machine, and my wife's kind of looking at me, and I'm like, just going to leave the suitcase right here. I'm going to put the clothes right from this washer and dryer back into the suitcase. Of course, going to add more stuff because this is a 10-day run, so I'm going to be maximizing my weight allowance on United by packing that bad boy to 69.5 pounds and making sure that it stays that way. But so anyway, what's going on here is on Wednesday evening, I fly the red eye to LA, get into LA. I'm going to the Worldwide Radio Summit. I'm speaking on Friday. And then this event's held at the Roosevelt, so in Hollywood. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a historian buff. I told someone today, hey, I'm staying at the Roosevelt. And they're like, what? Do you know that's where all the, like, the actors and famous people stay? And I'm like, no. I know that the price was not inexpensive per night. They had a discount code, so thank God Rob Weiss's credit card didn't get hit too hard, but it still was a big bill for just a couple of nights. So I go from the laps of luxury at the Roosevelt in Hollywood on a Thursday, Friday, fly into Vegas on Saturday and stay in my old standby downtown in Old Town. I'll be at the Plaza. They have great internet there. And as I've told people in the past, I can be anywhere in the world. You could blindfold me, fly me halfway across the planet, put earbuds in my ears to knock out the sound, and I could walk me into the casino and I would know. That casino just has a certain smell. Thank God the rooms aren't the same way, but the casino has a certain smell to it. I don't know what it is. If I could do anything, I would change the air freshener. But anyway, that gets me into Vegas. Sunday, I go to the Rain Summit, and then right hopping mad into NAB Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then get back home here. But I have a packed schedule, meeting with a lot of people. Of course, this week is even more crazy because on Friday of this week, on the 15th, the Podcast Awards nominations open up. So I'm going to kind of be gone during the madness of the Podcast Awards. I get back here on the 23rd, and then I'm home just a week. I'm just home just a week, and then I head to Texas. So I'll be in Texas for 2 weeks. I'll be in Austin. I'll be in Dallas. I'll be in Houston. I'll be all over the place for 2 weeks. So that's kind of what's, you know, happening from a schedule standpoint. Lots happening here. So, again, just glad to be back in the studio. And you can't see it, but there's kind of a whirlwind of a wreck in here, and I have to do something to get it kind of cleaned up tomorrow so that I keep my lovely wife happy. She's on her second week of training for Hawaiian Airlines. Everything is going good so far. She's got a major, major test coming up on Wednesday. They're, you know, learning all the computer codes, and there is like 10 sheets of like at least 10 each on each sheet. So it's like memorizing 100 definitions. So she is head down right now, cranking on that. Matter of fact, it was the reason the show got started late tonight, because picked her up. She'd spend a little extra time after Indoc today working on, they've got training computers there. So making some reservations and setting some tickets and, you know, doing some things to get that hand knowledge working on those keyboards, because it's not like having a nice, beautiful Windows interface. Everything is like custom, unique, weird, you know, not like something you would see, you know, ease of use type of thing is not in an airline definition. So anyway, that's going good for her, and keeping her fingers crossed. And so if everything goes good by Friday, she will officially be good to go and be able to go to work at Hawaiian Airlines. So I'm excited for her, and so we'll see what happens. Okay, I think that's all I've got for just a little chit-chat stuff. As always, we want you to feel free to drop me an email on anything that you may be thinking about, and can you continue to provide feedback for the show. I was real happy to get the show out last week with no issues whatsoever. So we held you tight last week to two shows. Can't promise that for this week. It's just going to be a little bit insane because I'll have a full day Wednesday, fly the red eye, hopefully get a few hours sleep, and then be busy all day. I've got a dinner scheduled for Thursday night, so I'm sure by the time that's over, I'm going to be wiped from a jet lag standpoint, just, you know, pouncing between time zones and just no sleep. So anyway, that's what's going on there. So probably no show on Thursday. Hey, do want to thank all of the ongoing insiders, those of you that are contributing to the show. Thanks so much for your ongoing support. It's greatly appreciated. Hey, we are live at live.geeknewscentral.com. Depends on where you're watching right now. Chat room is open, so you can feel free to come over and hang out with us in the chat room if you so desire. Okay, first thing I want to talk about tonight, and I knew this was coming, and I think it's time, but at the same point, I think some of you are going to be concerned about this. Now, we already know that if you're involved in an automobile accident, let me grab my switch here, hang on. If you're involved in an automobile accident, someone is hurt, it is more than likely that the law enforcement agency that is investigating your accident may pull, you know, information from your black box. While the same thing goes applies, if they think you are underneath the influence of drugs or alcohol, they can demand a breathalyzer or a blood test to prove that you are under the influence. You can refuse that, of course, but that isn't going to bode well for you, especially if a serious injury has happened. But now they're employing a new tool, and it's called Textalyzer. And this is being introduced to law enforcement throughout the United States. It's designed and created by the same company, we think, in Israel that helped the FBI unlock the mobile phone. But their situation with this is that, you know, now you may be forced to hand over your phone, and they may pull your texting data and your call information off your phone as an assistance to determine if you are negligible, from an injury standpoint. Now, in a bid to get around the Fourth Amendment right to privacy, the Textalyzer allegedly would keep conversation, contacts, numbers, photos, and applications data private. It will solely say whether the phone was in use prior to a motor vehicle mishap. Further analysis, which might require a warrant, could be necessary to determine whether such usage was via hands-free, dashboard technology, and to confirm the original finding. There is legislation going into place in city or states like New York, where drivers would have to submit their phones. This legislation was prompted by intense lobbying from the Distracted Operator Risk Casualties, DORC, the son of its co-founder, Ben Lieberman, who was killed in 2011 by a distracted driver. And the proposed law has been dubbed Evan's Law in memory of the 19-year-old Evan Lieberman. So we feel, or they feel at this time, is that this will start to become pretty standard fare across the country before too long. So just be aware out there. Now that they're going to start, you know, they always were able to subpoena your call and text records, but they can do a quick analysis right there in the law enforcement's vehicle to see what you have been doing. So I don't think this comes as a surprise to any of us, but it could, you know, can be expected moving forward. So one thing I want to talk about just a little bit tonight, for those of you that are watching, I would really love feedback on the quality of the screen grab. And I'm just not 100% convinced that the new screen grab or the ability to put up websites like this is as good as it used to be from a Christmas standpoint. So if you're looking at your screen right now, take a close look. Tell me if you can read the text on your screen. See if you can see Law and Disorder First Came. Tell me where it gets blurry and you cannot read what's on the screen. I definitely appreciate some feedback to geeknews@gmail.com. At the same time, if any of you are watching via YouTube, love to hear your feedback on how the video looks tonight too, from a quality standpoint. But just looking for that feedback for those of you that are watching. Definitely appreciate it. Moving on here, there's a little bit of a danger if you put $1,000 down for Model 3. You may not be able to get the federal tax credit when that vehicle becomes available. With the $7,500 federal tax credit on the Model 3, which would potentially bring the $35,000 starting price down to $27,500, it is on course. Tesla is on course to be phased out by the time these cars show up for delivery, starting as late as 2017. This is because Tesla will likely be reaching the federal tax cap of 200,000 cars through its Model S and Model X deliveries by the time the Model 3 is ready to roll out. Tesla owners have been concerned enough about the disappearing incentive to question Tesla CEO Elon Musk on his Twitter page and suggest a solution. And they have some plans made here, but there may be a small window of about 6 months before the loophole that they feel is in the law closes for you to get the tax credit. So this could put a serious damper on those of you that are thinking about buying a Model 3 and having that discount go away, or that tax credit. And believe me, after I got done writing a check to the IRS, those tax credits are important when it comes to green energy stuff. So keep that in mind if you're thinking about buying a Model 3. There was one other thing I did want to congratulate, and I don't know what happened. I had it as my first article, and it's actually the title of the show today. Friday afternoon, I'm sitting in the hotel room. Got the text message that Livestream was firing up for a SpaceX launch. I got the website loaded literally moments before the launch, and they were on their way to the International Space Station. So we all know that SpaceX has been trying to land at a barge at sea. When the you know, the flight, or basically the launch, went off without a hitch. Pretty excited about, you know, where things were headed there. And they had clear, beautiful weather in the Atlantic, ready for the, you know, the attempt to land. I'm sure many of you have seen the landing video already. And I will tell you, watching it live and hearing the SpaceX employees in the background screaming at the top of their lungs, it was most impressive. I'm here to tell you, to have seen it live and seen the excitement from the SpaceX team, it was truly remarkable. And if you understand how big this thing is, it doesn't look big in this image that I have up on the page, and of course is available via the show notes. But this was a stunning achievement. I would say for myself at least, the ability to see that launch and see that landing at sea, I was beyond stoked. I really was. And big time congratulations to SpaceX for achieving it. And we know they've got big challenges ahead to do that every time, depending on sea state and everything else. But if they can, you know, if they can now take this stage, take it back, you know, recycle what they're going to recycle and reuse it on another launch, I think we all will admit the price of going to space goes down with every launch. And where they're able to, and they're not going to be able to recover the stage every time. And matter of fact, I think once they get the technology down, it is more than likely that they're going to be allowed to do more land-based recoveries. You know, because this is the second one they've been able to recover standing up. And they've been, you know, they don't want to risk something coming in over top of people on its way down to try to land. But if they prove this thing, it could really be a game changer. So, again, congratulations to SpaceX. It really was very, very exciting to watch. And if you've seen the video, you know, definitely, if you saw it live, congratulations as well. Seeing the video, it almost doesn't look real. You know, it's coming down so fast, and it's just, you're like, is this thing really going to land? And it's coming in on a weird angle, and how it straightens up at the end, it blows my mind, but it was really, really cool. Switching gears here totally and moving on to a different topic. The internet service providers are being accused of refusing to disconnect persistent pirates. The U.S. Broadband Association, U.S. Telecom, a trade association representing many ISP, is taking a stand against abusive takedown notices in a recent push to terminate the accounts of repeat infringers. They argue that ISPs are not required to pass on takedown notices and stress that their subscribers shouldn't lose internet access based solely on copyright holder complaints. Of course, we know the DMCA that was signed into place many, many years ago, and the rules that was made with the ISPs, you know, one type, two strikes, three strikes, you're out. Actually, I think it's a five-strike system. But they're basically stressing that in most cases today, ISPs are acting as a conduit to pass on digital information, and these type of services are not subject to takedown notices. They fall under Section 5.112 of the DMCA. And it, again, it's they feel it's appropriate and contrary to the DMCA suggests ISPs should somehow be responsible for policing for copyright fraud. And again, they stress that ISPs have no obligation to process takedown notices under the DMCA. And of course, not all copyright holders agree. And in many of these cases, the senders of those takedown notices want the ISPs to terminate the internet access based on allegations alone. So this is an interesting move here. U.S. Telecom's response to the DMCA consultation of the Copyright Office comes at an interesting time. Just a few months ago, Cox Communications was ordered to pay $25 million because it failed to disconnect subscribers whose connections were repeatedly used to pirate content. And, you know, the telecom group disagrees. So we'll see where this leads, but this battle is not over by any means. Financial fraud is huge, and it's growing. It's getting to the point now where, you know, banking online is becoming more risky. And matter of fact, I've changed some of my banking online habits where that I strictly do, and I don't know if it's any more secure. I kind of feel it is. I'm doing strictly my online banking now through the bank's app and on my mobile device. And not using a Wi-Fi connection, obviously. And I'm not even using my banking app on my computer anymore. Just trying to limit the number of touch points where I'm touching my financial data. So banks now are really struggling. Financial fraud, according to the BBC, financial fraud losses totaled £775 million in the UK last year alone. And of course, worldwide, the figures run into billions. There's a new company out there that are trying to figure out ways to combat this. So HSBC recently announced, and that's it's a bank in UK, announced it would be rolling out a new technology essentially uses multiple touch points to figure out who you are. Voice recognition, sometimes biometric data, location data, mobile device data. They're using a whole number of items to make sure that they know you are who you say you are. They're using face, even electrical activity of our heart. They can now use to authenticate ourselves. And, you know, the biometric monitoring is new to me. You know, I've never heard of that before, where they're using our heart to determine if we are who we say we are. But with, you know, caller ID being able to be spoofed in a whole number of items, this new firm that is working on this new technology, it's called Pindrop. They're using as many as 147 measurable items to make sure that when you connect with your bank, specifically HSBC in this case, they're using as many as 147 measurements or measurables to determine that you are who you say you are. And this is pretty cool. So, and they're using some of this new voice recognition stuff to be able to determine frauders, you know, someone is calling in, making multiple calls. You know, it really doesn't pay well when someone is detected of trying to attempt fraud. And if a system, you know, does a voice print of that and they call back and get a different support person, and you know, if 45 minutes later and the system automatically says, hey, this, We were dealing with this individual 45 minutes ago from a voice imprint standpoint. I think this is all good when it comes to banking. And there's a lot of firms out there. U.S. tech firm Duo Security aims to make dual authentication or two-factor authentication easier for banks. There's a whole bunch of companies that are in the business now. So I have this link up in the show notes for those of you that are interested. But they're having to really work hard to, you know, to beat the scammers. I'm gonna link a page that was over on Sploid, and all I can say is, I don't think this is a fake video. From everything I can see, it looks real. And first of all I can say is the pilot was on a pretty low approach, And everything in this image matches the reflections and everything, but it's essentially a guy who was taking pictures of a, you know, and this was just off a road. He's not really in an area where you would expect to, you know, have to duck for your life. But this guy was in within feet. I'm not kidding you. Within feet of this little aircraft, this little Cessna that was getting ready to land downrange. And when you see the video, it's going to blow you away. He said he actually, the landing gear actually touched, just touched, is barely touched his hand. He had a little scuff mark on his finger. It was that close. If you, and if there was a 360 video, 360 degree video that was being used. If they fake this, I'm going to tell you, they did a great job. This is the best fake ever. But you can see by the reaction of the dude, and you can look at the different directions. I don't know how they faked it. But the guy was able to get a snap, and it looks, the plane looks like it's in a location it was. And I just think it was, and even the guy behind on a little moped, he's ducking. This guy was low coming in. But when you see this, you're going to be like blown away. So I have the, and Jack, I know you're listening. You wait to see this. Wait till you see this. And it, I don't know why this pilot was so low, but all I can say is the guy's lucky he didn't even get hit by the prop. So link will be in the show notes. There's one other suspicious video that I have for you today as well, but I'll have that near the end of the show today. Hey, there is a release potentially of the new Kindle. Some pictures. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. And what it's going to look like. So, a little bit of a early bird release on this. So, if you want to get a new Kindle, they're coming. And anyway, there's been a little bit of a release. I don't know what the price on it's going to be, but this is the rumored footprint. All right, I'm just gonna, everyone in this audience, everyone that listens to my voice, repeat after me. All right, you're gonna take a pledge here. I know you're, and I'm not gonna get you in some religious cult or anything like that. You're gonna raise your hand right now. Raise your right hand and say, "I, your name, listener of Geek News Central, shall never, ever in my lifetime pick up a USB stick I have found on the ground and stick such USB stick in my laptop." Okay? Just, you know, say that pledge to yourself, because a new study has found that almost half of the people who pick up a USB stick that they just happen to come across in a parking lot plug said devices, drives into a PC. Researchers from Google, the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and the University of Michigan spread 297 USB drives around the Urbana-Champaign campus. They found that 48% of the drives were picked up and plugged into a computer, some within minutes of being dropped. Now, even more scary, only 16% of the users bother to scan the drives with antivirus software before loading the files. 68% of the respondents, because they loaded a web page and said, "Hey, why did you load this stick in your computer?" And 68% of the folks that responded said they were only accessing the drive in order to find its owner. Though a handful of respondents said that they were planning to keep the USB drive for themselves. Again, please, I beg upon you, don't do this. Because if they could have dropped 490, okay, I can buy 500 USB sticks for $1,000. That's what they're going to cost, about $2 a stick if you get a small one. I could put a nice fancy logo on it, make it look all shiny, make it, you know, make it look nice. And then I could load 500, I could load 500 of those USB sticks with malware that would put on keyboard tracking software on your computer and call home to mama just by sticking it in your USB drive. I could own your machine. Do not do this. When I was active duty in the military, that was a big warning. If you ever find a USB stick laying around, you know, do not stick it in a computer. Ever, 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 ever. The quickest way for a system to be breached is by sticking unauthorized magnetic media, and well, not even the magnetic media, any media in a computer. So, you know, you just think about this for a second. So you pick up one of those sticks, you go home, you plug it into your home PC. Ah, nothing happened. It's a good drawer. It's a good stick. I'll use it again. And you pull it out and you use it in your work computer. You take your work computer to work and you plug it into the network. And the network, all of a sudden, you know, 500, 1,000, 5,000 computers are infected because you picked up a USB stick and stuck it in your computer. This is a huge social engineering hack. These USB memory sticks are cheap. Take that thing that you picked up off the ground. If it doesn't have a name on it, throw it in the trash. Or better yet, leave it on the ground. Maybe the owner will come back and get it. Or maybe the person's trying to hack your computer will come back and get it. So I find it incredible that people are doing that. Have a 3D printer. Have $99. Want to build a drone? There's a kit that you can do right now. It's called a do-it-yourself drone kit. Very affordable, $99. It's you have to print the pieces in your 3D printer, put it together. It uses a FlexBot circuit board, and you don't have to do any kind of soldering, anything like that. And once you've got it built, you can use your smartphone to fly it around. So $99, and this is something you can use. And if you break the thing, you can reprint a part. So I think this is genius. This is the purpose of 3D printers, these kind of kits like this, right? Now, we're just talking about USB sticks, right? Well, now, Googlers, yes, Google employees, are proposing something called Web USB API. A website would take control of USB devices, being your printer, being any type of devices connected via USB, SD card scanner, all kinds of stuff. But these engineers have drafted a software interface that allows websites to control USB devices. So what could possibly go wrong with this? With this API? Anyway, Web USB is going to be coming out with an SDK and all kinds of a project in progress. But I don't know. It scares me to death. Can you imagine? Okay, load a web page, my printer starts printing, and I get some coupons because I've just visited a website. That would make me mad. Of course, might be a great way to get you guys GoDaddy promo codes, right? You load Geek News Central and the printer starts printing. I'm sure that would invoke a mass rage, an email from all of you. I wouldn't have to worry about getting feedback. You could do that in a hurry. If you're a Dropbox user, you can now share Dropbox files directly in Facebook Messenger. So why don't you send that thing via email? Send a link. I fully don't understand. You know, I use Messenger as the least possible amount. But you can now share Dropbox files directly in Facebook Messenger. I'm sure someone will figure out a way to spam me stuff via that way. Or have you been infected with the PETA, P-E-T-Y-A, ransomware? There's a new tool out there that will decrypt that ransomware. Of course, you had to have been affected by version 1.61, version of that malware in order to get access to the actual drive. But someone was very smart and came up with they found a vulnerability in the actual encryption, and they've been able to uncrack some folks' computers. So there is some technical prowess needed to do this, but I'll have this show up, a link up in the show notes. A little bit of controversy going over on at Reddit. Reddit announced or released their own app a few days ago, and over the past week or so, a lot of Reddit apps have been being delisted from the iOS App Store. And according to Apple, it's because the apps are able to access adult material, NSFW content. You know, you can just use a web browser and go over to Reddit and get access to not safe for work content. So does that mean, Apple, you need to ban your own Safari app or what? More than likely, these apps are getting removed maybe because of Reddit wants their app to be the one and only out there. I don't know, but that's the rumor. North Korea claims, after its latest rocket test, that it can lob nukes at the United States. Go ahead there, Kong Jong-il, whatever your name is, Yong Jong-il, or whatever you are. Go ahead and continue to make those types of claims, and continue to press your luck there, bud, with some tests. I would fair to say that if the United States even thought that this idiot was going to be doing something, there would be it's just amazing. How does this guy get it? You know, this dictator who can't even feed his people, yet have a rocket program. You know what it really boils down to? They want to make money by exporting the sale of these rocket motors. So that's the ultimate goal. They can talk all they want, but it's all about arms sales. And we just can't allow this guy to be selling anything to anybody. A little bit of worry about Firefox in the way ahead. How many of you have been not using Firefox as much? I'll be the first to admit I don't use Firefox as much as I used to. My Chrome is my browser of choice right now, and but there is some concern that Firefox is going to be able to be sustained over the long haul and make enough changes to move forward with the new generation of browsers coming out. So we'll see where this goes, but a little bit of whispers here and there about Firefox. All right. This is something for those of you that are great drone drivers. Have you thought about getting involved in drone racing? Have you seen some of these drone racing events? These drones that they race absolutely scoot. They're fast. And, you know, if you've ever seen one of these drones crash, I mean, they just like blow up into like a dozen pieces. It's not good when they go smash. But RotorX is offering a small, speedy carbon fiber drone with an FPV controller for just $499. Well, actually, the $499 offer is gone. They've got an Indiegogo campaign going on. And when you see the video for the Indiegogo, you're going to want to go down and lay out your credit card. It's just they did a really, really nice job with the video. You can use a VR headset to fly the drone. It's really incredible. These things are go fast. They're go fast drones, very nimble. And the ones that they built, you can smash and wreck them, and they are be able to put together, you know, pretty easily. So definitely check this Rotor X video out. Anything that you can crash a few times, that's what I'm talking about. Because if you're going to get involved in this drone racing at $500 a pop, you're not going to want to smash too many. But anyway, I'll have the link up to the Indiegogo campaign as well in the show notes tonight. A lot of discussion about why anyone would ever want to buy Yahoo. A lot of people are kind of like, if they're in such bad shape, why are they even a target acquisition? I got to admit, you know, who really uses Yahoo anymore? I can't even remember the last time. I think it was on their one of their finance websites. That's about it. And I think Flickr, using a Flickr account, that would be the extent of it. Maybe I'm missing something here, but what does Yahoo really offer anymore? All right, Google's free fiber option, Kansas City, is gone. The ultra-fast broadband service will now set users back a minimum of $50 a month for 5 megs up, 5 megs down. That's the new pricing. Excuse me. It says, those who wish to sign up for fiber in Kansas City must now pay a minimum of $50 a month with a waived installation fee in return for 1-year contract. Oh, it's expect speeds up to 100 megs per second. Oh, so for 50, it's 100 megs. Google's also offering speeds up to 1,000 megs and 1 terabyte of cloud storage for $70 a month. Please sign. Please, please, please. I wish. Oh, if I ever move, I'm going to go to a Google Fiber City. Oh, Austin is on the list. Yes, it is. So, not necessarily. Any Kansas City fans of the show? I haven't been in Kansas City in years. Good steakhouses in Kansas City. Is there a good article on Tech Dirt? The president did an interview on Fox. And this just troubles me. The president said that when asked about Hillary Clinton's ongoing investigation with her on, you know, security violations, he says there's classified and then there's classified, the president said. So what does that mean? In my definition, classified is classified is classified is always classified, no matter what. You know, there's no differentiation. It's classified. There's different levels of classified. That's a more correct statement. They're protecting it. You know, I don't think that there's any way possible that they are ever going to indict her for, you know, underneath the Espionage Act. For I just don't think they'll ever do it. And obviously she's not being accused of espionage, but there's rules underneath there about handling classified that get you in trouble. That's where that, you know, that the rules they sign when they get access to classified material. But it's just why the president would say there's classified and then there's classified. It's a very odd. He said in the interview on Sunday that while Hillary Clinton has been careless in managing her emails as Secretary of State, she would never intentionally do anything to endanger the country. Really? So, I don't know. I just, admit anyone else, they'd be in jail. Anyone else. All right, new AI tool claims to change the landscape of online ads by connecting shoppers to goods using images. A new machine learning platform will produce ads that will connect customers to exact shoes or clothing product they're looking for by using image recognition. So, you know, ladies, if you've got a pair of shoes that you love, that you've had for years, and all of a sudden they kind of are like at the point where they need a little bit of, you know, you want to refresh, you want to buy some new ones. You could take a picture of those shoes and basically submit it to this platform, and it will help you find a same styled shoe. It'll give you some options. So, that'll be popular. It really, really will. So, forthcoming. I have that link up in the show notes. United Launch Alliance basically suspended indefinitely any launches until they figure out what's going on with their motor problem. So, you know, they had a an engine go out on their last flight. It was a malfunction. Now, I can't remember exactly what happened, if they're on a single motor and if it went boom or what. But they are, they've launched 106 rockets into space and boast close to 100% launch success rating. But the while the malfunction was small, I guess they recovered from it. But they're going to go take a look. I think ULA uses Russian motors. I can't remember, but I think they do. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. All right, this next video that I'm going to share with you, it's a hoverboard video. I just cannot imagine that this is another one that's real. If it is, oh my goodness, is this going to be cool? There's just too many things here that it might not be completely right. But I will say that if this is the true deal, these folks have got themselves one heck of a product. And I'll let you guys be the judge. And it's a hoverboard that is pretty doggone awesome. It's racking up some serious views on YouTube. Some people are trying to figure out, yes, it's the real or it's fake. Some are saying fake. There are some interesting cuts in it, which makes me to believe it could be a fake. So I'll have it up for you in the show notes to take a check out. All right, Supreme Court says government cannot take your money and lock you out of your choice in representation. So this is a big decision. It was handed down by the Supreme Court more than a week ago. Late last year, the court decided to take a look at the issue related to asset forfeiture and implication it has on the Sixth Amendment. In the case, the defendant, Sila Lewis, argued that the government's seizure of her assets pre-conviction denied her right to defend herself truly against the charges. She could still use an attorney, but it would have to be one appointed to her or one willing to work for deferred compensation in the hopes that the assets would eventually be returned. So this is what happens. A lot of people have their assets. The IRS takes your assets. You are basically guilty before you're not innocent before guilty. The IRS thinks you're guilty, take your assets. Of course, you don't have no money then. You can't hire lawyers. So you have to take a court-appointed lawyer. And, of course, you know how most of those are. And the next thing you know, your money's gone. The IRS has got your cash forever. Well, the Supreme Court says you cannot do this. The Supreme Court, in a 5-3 decision, noted that the seizure of untainted assets is a violation of the Sixth Amendment rights when it prevents the defendants from seeking the best possible representation. It's somewhat of a limited window as it relies on the specifics of the case where seized assets were deemed by the government to be untainted. Uh-oh. If you're a drug dealer and you've got $1 million in cash in your house from your drug deal, you're probably going to lose that cash, but you may not lose what's in your bank account. That's at least the reason for the limited win. We'll see how this goes, but I think we all can agree that it's a very real difference between seizing assets that are tainted and assets that are not tainted when the seizure happens before trial. So this is a big win for everyone. Ticketmaster, I don't understand why they're still in business. I guess they have a monopoly. But Ticketmaster and Eventbrite will soon be selling tickets via Facebook. So, if you're a Ticketmaster user, be aware of that. Also, there's reactions to the early screenings of Captain America's Civil War. And unlike the Superman versus Batman, which I still haven't went and seen yet, it appears the Civil War series of Captain America is being well received. The critics that did the previewing were all pretty much thumbs up, few kind of in the middle. But unlike the Batman-Superman thing, which is, I think, frankly, you've got two. And again, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't have any spoilers here. But when you have a character like Superman, and you have a character like Batman, which are both good guys, and they're fighting against each other, there's something wrong with that. It just doesn't make any sense. Now, I don't know how it turned out. I don't care. Just you put those two up head to head, it just, it's wrong. You don't put Superman and Batman together in a fight against one another. They're supposed to go out and get the bad guys in this make-believe world. But Maybe that's why they're having so much trouble. But according to the Captain America series, everybody's pretty favorable with it. Saw a classic video today. And matter of fact, I sent this video to my son, two sons, and my daughter. Of course, my daughter I can't do this anymore to. Probably not the 18-year-old that lives here, but, you know, he does live here and go to school, so he follows my rules. But a mom took her kids' iPhones and put them out on a stump. She took the 12-gauge out, and she says this. And you know, I got to give this mom credit. Her kids were being sassy and talking back, and the mom put her money where her mouth was, and she says, "I hereby denounce the effects that social media have on my children." And she's yelling this before taking a shot at the device. "I refuse to be cursed. I refuse to be disobeyed. I take back my role as a parent." And one of her kids said, "Good for you," and flipped her off and said, "We don't give two beeps." And meanwhile, she takes the shotgun and blows the iPhones away. Then she picks up the pieces and puts them on a stump, and then she basically announces the coup de grace and smashes them with the sledgehammer. So, mom, good on you. yes. You should have probably took action before it got to that point, okay? Hey, the Chinese have figured out a way to, with a solar panel, to produce electricity from light and water. Specifically rain. So when it's, you know, sun shining out, the solar panel creates energy. And when it's raining, it creates energy as well. So that's kind of an interesting development. Not as efficient, of course, but it is something that they have come up with. We have to hurry up here. I'm not going to get through this. Hey, the Kepler spacecraft ran into trouble over the weekend. And scientists have worked really hard to get it out of emergency mode from 75 million miles away, which has a 13-minute round trip via speed of light. And they're on the road to recovery, but they do have concerns about the spacecraft and the telescope, and they're working very, very hard at it. But scientists are trying to get the telescope back up and online. And hopefully they do. It's a, you know, it's been out there since 2009. It's a $600 million bill. Has lots of life left on it. We want to make sure that we be able to continue to do science on this. Hey, Ford has basically announced that their self-driving cars work in total darkness. I don't think this has come as any surprise. But a little bit of a CNET article on that. John Oliver, though, had a lot of fun with talking about everything wrong with credit reports. Between Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. It's not technical in nature, but John Oliver's always good for a laugh, so I have that link up in the show notes. Hey, Netflix longtime customers, by the way, you're going to be start paying $9.99 in May. As a reminder, that is happening. Doesn't matter how long you've been a customer, $9.99 is going to be the price starting in May. Couple articles from over on Yahoo announcing that Samsung has been fixing some problems with the Galaxy S7 Edge. They don't specifically say what's happening, but they've been rolling out a bunch of bug fixes. So if you've got an S7 Edge and you had trouble, this may be worthy of an article for you. Also, the folks at Tesla did announce a recall on their SUV. 2700 Model X's are coming in. They've got a faulty part on the third row that could cause the seat to collapse. So they're going to get that fixed. So first kind of big recall by Tesla. It's not surprising. PC sales are plunging further as Windows 10 and Skylark CPUs fail to inspire upgrades. Businesses are just not making the push. You know, they're sticking with Windows 7 and those machines that they are upgrading to Windows 10. Hardware is pretty sufficient from Windows 7 to Windows 10. So sales remain flat. A lot of people are on tablets these days. Of course, in the SpaceX launch in the National Space Station, they did take that, it's not a motel, but it's a cloth-based, or not cloth-based, I don't know how to exactly describe, it's an inflatable hub. And they're going to have this inflatable hub hanging off the International Space Station. Well, ULA and Bigelow Aerospace have teamed up to create what they're calling an inflatable space hotel. Okay, I'm just going to tell you here straight up. I'm not going into outer space to go into a inflatable anything. Now, I'm sure the NASA folks are doing good experiments, but inflatable? Now, I know that, a micrometeorite or something like that isn't going to get slowed down by the thin aluminum in the International Space Station either. But I'm not staying anything in space that inflates. It just doesn't sound right with the, you got vacuum on the other side of that. Inflatable? No, I don't think so. Oh, boy. But I'm sure they're going to find a way. All right, last couple of articles tonight. A teen selfie. Tragic. A young lady wanting to get a selfie as she was standing near a track of an approaching train. Yes, it ended badly in Foshan, China. The 19-year-old victim apparently stood too close to the train tracks, and she did not give two hoots to the warning from the driver, as well as shouts from those who were close to her, but not too close to the train tracks to suffer from the same fate as her. She was sucked into the train mechanism. And there is a picture moments before the disaster. Trying to get a selfie because she was trying to stand close to a train. And she's dead in a big way. So, come on. Let's not be selfie stupid. Google has a new site. It makes it easier for you to find the right Chromebook for you. So if you want to shop for a Chromebook, I know a lot of people are using them. I'll have the link up in the show notes for this new site from Google. All right, I think that's going to wrap me up here. Didn't load email. I should have, because there was a couple of things that came in. Oh, it looks like we had a little bit of a hiccup tonight with the new stream. Did it say here? It was a little bit slow, so the stream went down for a little bit in quality I'm just seeing now on Facebook. Oh, we got some folks on the show tonight. Thanks for being here. All right, let me go ahead. I do have some email that came in, one that was pretty interesting. And, all right, so the last show was on the 7th. So let me see here. I've got, So I got an email from Nancy. She says, I've been very outspoken until my son announced a couple of, and this is regarding self-censorship. Remember we talked about this on a couple of shows ago. Nancy says, I've been very outspoken online until my son announced a couple of years ago that he wanted to go to a service academy. I shouldn't have to worry that my opinion should affect his acceptance, but it's the realities that it might. So she's been self-censoring because as a mom, she wants to make sure her son has an opportunity to get in a service academy. And they do. They go looking around. They look at the kids. They look at the parents. And they do a little background on everybody. Now, they may not say that, but they do. So that's one of the reasons Nancy's having to self-censor. Got an email from Mike. He says, hey, Todd, I just finished listening to show number 1107. Very interesting how Outlook is trying to compete with Google Apps. I use a domain for my personal email and have used the free Google Apps for almost 10 years now. Well, Mike, you were lucky because they don't offer free anymore. It's been so wonderful and effective that I have rarely considered switching to another service. I did take a look at Outlook.com a few years ago and found it to be at best almost equivalent but not better in any way and therefore not worth switching. I found Gmail's labeling feature much easier than organizing mail in physical folders. If you still sync Gmail to a Outlook, the labels turn into folders, if you didn't know that already, Mike. But on my iPhone, I've used multiple apps for mail access. I haven't used the stock mail app now for a few years. I use the Outlook app for a while and liked how it had mail and calendar integrated in a single app with the ability to access my Gmail calendar. I've been using Google's No Inbox app for a while now, but hearing how the Outlook app got some new features recently, it may be time to give it another try. Mike, I still use the default iPhone app. Sometimes I use the Gmail app. I haven't used Outlook besides on, well, I don't use Outlook at all anymore. I just use Thunderbird. Anyway, thanks for your email and appreciate your feedback here. But yeah, no more free Google apps. It's a $5 a month per user. So, you know, technically I've got a couple of domains that I'm paying like 10 bucks a month for use on. All right, I got an email from Evan. And he says, two senators are about to introduce a bill that would ban strong encryption in the United States. Weak encryption make our airports, hotels, and water treatment facilities way more vulnerable to attack. It's called the Compliance with Court Orders Act of 2016. It's being pushed by surveillance-loving Senator Burr and Feinstein. A leaked draft of the text was posted online, and it's worse than we feared. If a bill like this passes, it would essentially mandate government backdoors into every type of technology we use. Our phones, our computers, online banking, messenger service, VPNs, everything. It would require private companies to assist the government, weakening their own security, even if it would put all of their customers in serious danger. Experts are saying this is one of the most ridiculous technology, illiterate, and outright dangerous piece of legislation that Congress has ever cooked up. So, to let you guys know here, the sources to this was on the Motherboard, on Reuters, on Wired, and USA Today. So I'll have that link in the show notes. Evan, appreciate the article. Thank you very much for sending it over. All right, this is going to wrap me up here. We're just about the end of the show. Again, as I move go on travel again, heading to LA, no show on Thursday for me. But we are going to have a guest host. I should have said that in the beginning. Mike Dell has agreed to come on and be the guest host while I'm gone. So Mike will cook up a show on his own and put some stuff up on the site. So I'm looking, didn't really give Mike any guidelines. So just be aware that Mike will be with you, I think, both in audio and video on Friday. So you'll have something to sink your teeth into. And, then I will probably be pumping out some content in the special media feed next week. And I got folks I'm about done here, stick a fork in me. Just keep an eye on the website at geeknewscentral.com to stay abreast of everything going on. But I want to thank all of you for being here. Those of you on YouTube, thanks for popping on. And I'd love to hear feedback on how the stream was today. I know we had a little bit of issue a little while into the show, but so far so good. Again, late end to the show tonight here, but everyone take care. Again, become an insider. geeknewscentral.com/insider. And thank you to all the folks that are insiders that start. I'm starting to see you guys up your donation levels. Beautiful. I love it. Just need to add about 10,000 more insiders, and then we could really do some crazy stuff. But it is what it is. And I love you guys all the same. But thanks for being part of the family here. And we'll be back with you with some more content shortly. May not be an official show from me, but it'll definitely be from NAB and chit-chat about tech and stuff. So keep an eye out, okay? And if I have time, I'll put some stuff up as well in the normal feed. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Email me, geeknews@gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Everyone take care. See ya. Aloha.